to deal with a test under circumstances they've never seen before. It's one thing to take these tests in normal circumstances, but to have undergone all they've had to undergo through the COVID and through the closures and all these things, hadn't been through the virtual learning, through so much they've had to experience. We want to pray for them that they will have confidence, that they'll have comfort, and they'll be clear and be fresh to do that what God has equipped them to do. I believe God has equipped his children even for such a time as this. That even though we're in a challenge, doesn't mean that you can't overcome the challenge. Amen. This too shall pass. And we want to pray as a family of faith for these our young people. Amen. Amen. So just lift your hands if you would with me, those who under the sound of our voices, we pray and cover our young people. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all this day represents. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your power. And Lord, we come before you asking you to have mercy on us where we've fallen short of your glory, where we've sinned against you. Have mercy on us, oh God. But Lord, we thank you for right now. Thank you for every blessing, every provision, every way you've made. And we thank you, oh God, for being God and God all by yourself. Lord, we come before you, lifting our young people to you as they're preparing to deal with some challenging exams and tests on this week. Father, we know you already know all about it, but we just want to encourage them and lift them to you, asking you, oh Father, to make a way, asking you, oh God, to cover them and bless them and strengthen them as they deal with the challenging week ahead. I pray, God, for soundness of mind, that you will speak to their mind, that they are prepared, that they will get a good night's rest, and you'll keep them and empower them to be able to do that which you have called them to do. Father, they can't be what they need to be unless they can be good students. And we pray, God, for success in the classroom, success on the test. Just because the test is standardized does not mean they are standardized. And you have called them, oh God, to be great. You've called them to be princes and princesses. And we pray, God, for your anointing upon them even now, that you would minister to their mind, minister to their hand, minister to the classroom, minister to the test, to whoever's going to proctor it in the name of Jesus. We pray for successful test exam. No failure, no needs improvement, but everybody will be passed and will have success and be ready to move to the next phase of their education, oh God. And so while we pray that in preparation for this blessing, that our kids get rest, they get proper nourishment, and that they trust you and pray to you before they take that test, Father, that you will be with them, that you will show up in their life, Father, they need you. And I pray, Father, they have an experience with you during this week. That's some thing that they didn't know they knew, that you were recalling to their mind, that you would bring it up, oh God. We ask, Father, that there won't be any plagiarism, but it'll all be you who will bring the glory and bring the power and bring the success to them. And so, Father, we pray that you will cover them, bless them, enhance them, lift them, encourage our children in the name of Jesus. We pray, God, for our school system, that things will be fair, will be equitable, that everyone will be promoted the way that you have seen fit to do it. And we pray, God, and give you glory for the positive reports that are going to come back. We pray for successful closure to this year for all of our young people and all those who work with our young people, that you will continue to anoint them and appoint them. And we bless you and we praise you. And we're going to praise you in advance for what we're getting ready to see and experience in our young people, that you're going to save them, that you're going to strengthen them, you're going to equip them to do that. No excuses. We'll take accountability and be able to give you the glory in the meantime. Now, Father, we come need to hear a word from you. We pray, God, that you'll share a word with us, that we might be better for you and be able to grow in this season. And, Father, we give you glory right now when you're getting ready to say to your people, because we can't make it without your word. Praise is good. Singing is good. Prayer is necessary. But we can't make it without your word. And I pray, God, your word will plant some seeds today and bring forth fruit in this season. To you be the glory, which you're getting ready to say. I pray that you're saved today, that you're healed, that you're delivered, you're set the captive free. In the name of Jesus, may you be glorified. May the body of Christ be edified. And may the devil be horrified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, bless God while you got a chance. Come on, bless God with me. Thank you, Lord. 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 Amen. Lord, have mercy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let me go on preaching, get done with this. My soul is on fire today. Glory to God. Bless you, God. God is up to something. Thank you, Lord. I solicit your prayers today because the preacher got to do some work today. So I solicit your prayers. Y'all pray with me and pray for me here. Don't pray on me, P-R-E-Y. I need you to pray for me today. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Acts, chapter number 19. Acts chapter 19. Lord, help me today. Glory to God. Acts chapter 19. The Holy Spirit has guided us to share a word with his people today. Lord, help your boy. Hold your boy. Acts chapter 19. Amen. Acts chapter number 19. I want to commence reading at verse number 11 and a few of the following. Acts chapter 19, beginning at verse 11 and a few of the following. I'm tickled already. Acts chapter 19. You holding me, Mac? I got you. I know it. Acts chapter 19, commencing at verse number 11. And the word of God reads thusly. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. The word of God for the people of God. The grass withers, the flowers fade thereof. But the word of our God shall last and stand forever. Amen. We want to tag this text. We need something real. We need something real. The story is told of these two best friends. And both these best friends have been friends for several years, so much so they knew each other's lives intimately. They knew all the details, the intricate parts of each other's lives, because that's how close they had grown in friendship. And one of these days, one of the friends came to his buddy and told him, man, I just bought a Lamborghini. He says, you bought what? He says, I bought a Lamborghini. And the friend that heard the news says to himself, now I know this joker's income. And I know he has nothing in his bank account that should call for him to be able to afford a Lamborghini. And so he put it to the test. He says, well, bring that Lamborghini by the house. And about 20 minutes later, he hears the sound of a vehicle pulling up to his house. And lo and behold, it was his friend at the door, rang the doorbell. He says, man, where's this Lamborghini that you say you bought? The man reaches behind him and pulls out a toy Lamborghini. What was supposed, what he thought cost $2 million, all he paid for was $20. Because what he had was the model of a real Lamborghini, but didn't have the actual Lamborghini. He had what is known as a replica, a toy of a Lamborghini, but did not have the real deal. And so the friend told him, man, if you don't get out of my face, with this fake stuff. And child of God, I wonder today if God is looking at some of us who have told the world we've got real relationship with God. And by the time it's time for us to come and examine ourselves, the Lord is telling us, get out of my face with that fake stuff. We need real power. That's the sermon right there. If you're going to make it and prosper and be what God has called you to be, you and I, my friend, must have real power. And lest I give this disclaimer and you don't get it, I'm not talking about mechanical power. I'm not talking about electrical power. I'm not talking about technological power. I need to tell some folk it's not about political power. Some of us deep folk need to understand it's not about financial power. But if you go survive, you got to have the power of the Lord. And all I come to serve notice today is that all the other power you and I are trying to get cannot sustain you in spiritual warfare. If you're going to make it, ladies and gentlemen, you've got to have the power of the Lord. And the power of the Lord can only come from the Lord. And I want to sneak into the text now and talk about the fact that if you go make it, you need something real. I don't know about you today, but because I got the mic, I feel bold enough to say this. I'm tired of fake church. I'm tired of fake Christians. I'm tired of all this shouting on nothing. I'm tired of singing with nothing in it. I'm tired of this because many of us really don't have any power. Can I tell you something today? Can I preach it like I feel it? Y'all not gonna let me preach like I feel it, but I'm gonna do it anyway. Just cause you got money don't mean you got power. Just cause you hooked up don't mean you got power. Just cause you got a good bank account don't mean you got power. Just cause you got worldly goods does not mean you got power. Just cause you pretty don't mean you got power. Just cause you handsome don't mean you got power. Just cause you talented don't mean you got power. It's a lot of talented people going to hell cause they ain't got no power. And the devil ain't worried about talented churches. The devil is intimidated by powerful churches. You ought to want to be powerful. Can I prove it to you? When you show up, the atmosphere ought to shift. It ought not, the devil ought not be comfortable when you show up in the house. If you got real power, the devil gets mad. Scripture tells us, resist the devil and he will flee. But for many of us, when you show up, the devil gets comfortable because you don't have power. We got policy and no power. We got procedure and no power. We got a shout with no power. We got speaking in tongues with no power. You got to have power. And when you got power, you don't have to brag about it. It brags on you when you got power. And it's some believers who don't have any power because you want to be gifted and anointed and don't have no power. And we're perpetrating a fraud because something that should be powerful has none. It's the equivalent of a nice vehicle that can't move because it doesn't have gas in the tank. Because without something in it that's going to get it to move, it's just a pretty looking vehicle. And most of us are pretty looking Christians who don't have any power. It's demons whipping you. It's curses living amongst you because you don't have the power to dismiss them demons in your life. Now, if I got a good deliverance, I got to make you mad today.
If I'm going to get us delivered, I gotta irritate you today, because most of us talking ain't got no power. Our text today takes us to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, we find the Apostle Paul, who's in this place called Ephesus. Ephesus is a leading commercial city in Asia Minor. It's a trade center. People come and go and have great business. It's known for good business and known for a lot of religion. Many types of worship takes place in Ephesus. Now, I didn't say God, they're known for God. I say Ephesus is known for religion. Many different types of worship takes place in Ephesus. So much so that Josephus and other historians and traditional commentators on Ephesus say it's the devil's territory. And God has sent his representative, his apostle, Paul, to go and shake up Ephesus. They're worshiping Artemis. They're worshiping gods of nature, and worshiping gods of love, and worshiping idol gods. Idolatry and demon possession are rampant in Ephesus. And God sends Paul to Ephesus to shake up stuff. And Paul, because God sent him, is successful. And he spends a matter of about 2 years in Ephesus. He spent several months in the synagogue able to teach. But some synagogue leaders got mad at what Paul was teaching, and they put him out the church. And so Paul didn't stop preaching because they put him out the church. Paul went to a lecture hall and kept on preaching. And folks were being responsive to the word Paul was preaching, hearing about this Jesus. Paul was such a great move of God was this, that Paul was able to deliver and baptize 12 followers of John. They were disciples, but they weren't the Lord's disciples. They were John's disciples. They are the equivalent of folk who don't know Jesus but know church. And they are on, as much as they know about God as what John taught them. They don't know what God is teaching now because they're still living off with Big Mama. Oops. What somebody taught them in the past concerning God, but they're not called the Lord's disciples. So John asked them, have you received the Holy Ghost? And they say, we don't know nothing about this Holy Ghost you're talking about. We heard something happen in Jerusalem. We heard something happen on this Pentecost day, but we didn't want to fool with that because we don't know nothing about it. John's disciples now receive the message of Paul, that Paul preaches concerning Jesus, lays hands on them, and they are baptized in the name of Jesus. If you go baptize folk, you can't baptize them in the founder's name. If you go baptize folk, you got to baptize them in the name of Jesus. And this is the first time they really got saved. They had joined church, but they were not really saved. Can you start seeing now how Paul is shaking up Ephesus? Because he's messing up stuff that had always been a certain way. Tradition in Ephesus is causing a problem. And a lot of stuff, get in trouble, Ham, a lot of stuff that was going on in Ephesus was demonic because it was traditional. A lot of traditional stuff that God's people were doing, they didn't know until God brought some revelation how demonic it was. It didn't have any spiritual foundation, no biblical basis, but it's the way we always did it. And Paul, this little mess maker named Paul comes in and he disrupts everything we know. And they put him out the synagogue, and they put him out, and he went to a lecture hall and said, I'll preach there. Paul does a great move and picks up in verse number 11, because the Bible says great works, great miracles were done at the hands of Paul. But look at about what the scripture says clearly. Paul's not doing it. God is doing it through Paul. You missed the shout. Paul is not that significant, but Paul willing to say, Lord, you can use me. And so here it is, God does great miracles through Paul in a place that's trying to shut God out. But when you got power, you can't shut God out.
Okay.
And so it picks up today that we need to look at the fact that we need some real power. We need some real. And so I need to share with you about real power, what real power is, and preferably what real power is not. And we all go home and mind our business. But I need to talk to us about what real power is and what real power is not. Help us distinguish between the fake and the real. Because certainly if God sends the real, the devil sends the fake. And I'm mighty afraid that many of my people who I love so much are running behind fake prophets, running behind an imposter, a pretender, and can't even discern what's real anymore. Because power is not about how noisy you are. Power, my friends, is about what God has placed on the inside. Watch this. So if we got to look at real power today. Let's understand this. Number one, real power is developed by revelation, not replication. Real power is developed by revelation, not replication. Replication means somebody copying off what they saw. Oh, God. Let me go and dig now. Let me go and bring my work, get my gloves. My boots, because I'm going to step in it in a minute. It's developed, real power is developed by revelation, not replication. I'm in the text. Paul is doing great works. Yes, he is. Paul is doing great things, so much so that the Bible says special miracles, unusual miracles are taking place by Paul. Handkerchiefs and aprons that have touched Paul's skin now have the power. By the time it gets to other folk getting healed and demons fleeing because of the cloth and the handkerchief that's touched Paul. Some folk couldn't get to Paul, so they had to, they touch Paul because the power in Paul missed it. Because of the power in Paul, something could touch Paul. Because of the power in Paul, something could be touched on Paul. Missed it. But the Bible says it was special miracles, unusual miracles. And when you don't have real power, you think the power is in the cloth and in the handkerchief. Y'all mad already? Because some of y'all done called 1-800. You done called and got some bottles of water because you think the power is in a prayer cloth. You think the power is in the bottle of water and ain't prayed to the God who gonna give you the power whether you got cloth or not. Bible says unusual miracles. Three significant periods where God did unusual miracles. He did it through the time of Moses, did it through the time of Elijah and Elisha, and through the time of Jesus and his apostles. Miracles do happen, but certain unusual miracles like this are only brought about to bring people closer to God. But God don't depend on miracles to get his point across. But people today in Acts 19 and today, folk looking for cloth and don't want Christ. Mm-hmm. And you calling all these numbers. You're talking to this lady up there that talks about these eggs. It's a lady up here up in one of these neighboring parish who rearranged some eggs. And she calls herself a seer. She sees something. Mm-hmm. And a lot of God folk go and try to find out about them eggs, whether it's a brown egg or a white egg. And if it's a brown egg, he gonna stay. If it's a white egg, he'll leave. And all these different things. That's witchcraft. God's people are depending upon superstition. You praying like you know how, and you are getting trouble, boy. You praying, you trust God, you sow, step on a crack, break your mama back. A black cat passed by you, and now you step on somebody's heel. You're beating them to death in their back three times. Superstition. I hear you. I hear some old saying, but some of that stuff is true. Some of that stuff is true. And here it is. They thinking of a cloth. Because it has been noted that a cloth and handkerchief, because it came, it touched Paul's skin. But the power ain't on Paul's skin. The power was in, was beneath his skin. That's where the power come from. But without revelation, you would just start replicating what you saw. You saw T.D. Jakes say something, do something, and your little country self decide to do it based on what you saw. And ain't been through or done what T.D. did to bring about certain power. Because power, great works without a word is witchcraft. What am I saying? The church is filled with witches and warlocks. Because they want works without a word. Creating magic acts and have no foundation is witchcraft. That's witchcraft. It's witches and warlocks trying to bring about great works of God and don't know nothing about the God they want to see this stuff in. And all witches don't have green faces and ride brooms. All warlocks ain't got long coats and snaggle tooth and hanging around double, tall in trouble, fire burn, cauldron bubble. Them ain't the only witches. Some witches can prophesy. Some witches sing so good. Some warlocks can preach like ain't no tomorrow. Because we're focused on the gift and not on the gift giver. That's witchcraft, to be focused on personality and don't have any power. That is witchcraft. If you hung up on who preaching, that's witchcraft. If you hung up on who's singing, that's witchcraft. If your focus is not on the word, but on who doing it, that's witchcraft. Well, here's what these people, so you got Paul, and so they think that the cloth, the power was in the cloth, and the power was not in the cloth. It's just a special miracle that God allowed to be used. But that's not the power. That's not where it come from. So some of these vagabond Jews, vagabonds are those who don't have a place, they're not planted. Y'all missed it. Vagabonds can't stay long enough to be planted because they're looking for a come up. They won't commit to something unless it can give them a hookup. And these vagabond Jews are walking by and they're seeing, ooh, folk getting healed off that. That's a pretty good hustle right there. If I can get folk to be healed and get devils out of them, I'm going to increase my income by a good 45-55%. Watch this. Get in trouble. Why are we in trouble now as the church? Because true ministry is big business. And we got an ugly name now because of a lot of vagabond preachers. Vagabond evangelists who only look at the come up from doing ministry. And now we all paying, real people are paying because of fake folks who have robbed us. And now nobody want to fool with the church because they got robbed by vagabond preachers. If the only way I can get a healing is if me sowing $100, why you think I'm praying in the first place? Because I ain't got no $100. That's why I'm here asking God to increase me. Now I got a, only way I can get a miracle is if I sow a seed. Only way I can get God to move is I give you $35. Where you getting these numbers from? And now when real saints ask us to sow and give, you're skeptical. I don't know Rev Mike, but I get put in the same boat as Rev Mike if I ask you all to tithe and give your offering. Because of some vagabonds who have robbed you. They decide they want to get that hook up. Because ain't no good market like church folks who desperate. Because the devil know most folk don't want the word, they want the works. So he sends people to tell you and I what we want to hear. And when we want to hear, we're more willing to give to them. And some man or woman of God who really love you telling you, you're going to hell unless you change. You need to forgive. You don't pay them. You don't give them nothing. You don't help them. You don't lift them up. But somebody tell you what you want to hear, you give them your whole check. Witchcraft. So much so that most of us can't discern between a real or a fake man or woman of God. Because we're judging from the wrong end. You're judging by the finish and not by the start. Because I purposely read 11, but if you read prior to 11, Paul preached. Y'all ain't hearing God. Paul preached. Missed it. You know why? See, you know why? Witchcraft. You don't get happy about good preaching. Now, when I was telling you about Paul doing works with cloth, you tuned in. Because you're trying to find your handkerchief. Silk, cotton, whatever you can find. Satin, trying to find something. But when it's come out, if the power wasn't from the cloth, the power because Paul preached the word. And the people received the word so that no matter what they got cloth or not, they were able to be healed because they had word in them. Paul preached and then performed. Woo! I know y'all get tired of me saying that because it ain't going to happen without the word. Any miracle without a word with it ain't no miracle. Paul preached. They received it. Now they were open to miracles. Oh, God. Oh, God. It's not you getting miracles, then you want to hear a message. Because most of us, if you get the miracle, you leave them before the message. I'm trying. It's through revelation. Through the word of God revealed is how you have power. They don't know where Paul been. They just know where Paul is now. They don't know that Paul had to get shut down when he was Saul. He had to go through a Damascus Road experience. They weren't there when Paul had to get whipped. They weren't there when Paul had to be shipwrecked. They were not there when Paul had to go through. They were not there when they had to be unpopular to be a preacher. They only see Paul being popular now. And they judging your glory, but don't know your story. They don't know how many times Paul had to be told no before God had to give him a yes in this situation. And we're chasing what looks like success and not something real. Why? And they're not responsible because they're vagabond Jews. They never have to give an account. Where's your home church? Don't have one. Who's your pastor? Don't have one. Don't need one. God called me. Well, who's feeding you? Whose feet are you sitting at? I ain't sitting nobody's feet. Ain't no man can teach me nothing. John tells me I don't need a man. I can judge myself. Totally misrepresenting the message of Jesus. Totally messing up the context of the text. Use the scripture to tell you why they're great. And why you need to keep taking care of them. I got a question for y'all before y'all look at. You might be a vagabond. My God. I'm going to help you understand today if you're a vagabond by asking just one question. You ready? Say, we ready, Ham? Ready. If you're ready to hear, if you want to know if you're a vagabond or not, you go answer this question for me. Yes. Do you want God to use you or are you using God? Because Paul lets God use him. These vagabonds are trying to use God. If the only time you're a Christian is when God do for you, you just might be a vagabond. If the only time you can shout is when you get your way, you just might be a vagabond. If the only time you can be faithful is when you got a position, you might just be a vagabond. Because if you really believe in God, I don't need a position. I don't need a title. I just want a testimony. I will bless the Lord. Are you using God, or is God using you? These vagabond Jews are trying to use God. Because who's going to argue with God? If I say I come in God's name, you ain't going to really fight me if I say I'm coming in my name. That's why folks tell me, God told me to tell you. I don't hear so good. The Lord put this on my heart to tell you this. No, you heard some, or you've been wanting to get me told, but the only way it's going to land is if I tell you God said it. I've been wanting to get you told, but the best way to get you told is to say, God told me to tell you. Leave me alone. So some of us are vagabonds and not real. Because if you ain't sat long enough to be taught by God, God was not going to use you to represent him. I seen you, oh Lord, boy. I seen you 11 o'clock singing. I see you preaching. I see you doing great things, but I never see you Wednesday. You always got time to do your thing, but never have time to sit and be taught how to do your thing better. Am I teaching good yet, y'all? I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. I'm so glad I didn't come looking for no amens. I just came to preach. Amen, man. Amen, boy. I'll do it myself. Because you try to use God and don't want God using you. Only time I'm really serious about prayer is when court tomorrow. I got to go to the doctor. I ain't getting good results. I need God to help me with this test. What happens when you pass? What happens when it don't go your way? You going to quit on God now? You only going to base your relationship on God, on what he do for you? It's not about what he do for you. It's about what you get to do for him. Because can I mess up your theology? God has already done enough for you and I. When he put Jesus on that cross and Jesus died for our sins, that's all God really had and wanted and needed to do to show me that he is God. But the 21st century church is so hung up on miracles, we don't hear a message. We need prayer to fix our city. We need prayer. We need to have a prayer vigil. Yeah, but prayer. Prayer don't think gonna work, ain't it? Prayer don't think. We put them signs in everybody's yard, ain't asked them. 2 Chronicles 7:14. But you misunderstand, that's conditional. If my people, which are called by my name, you gotta make sure you his before you pray to him for something. And we've been asking folks who ain't his. Let me move. And the Bible says that the cloth is bringing about this stuff, but it's the power, and they were able to touch. It's just like that woman with the issue of blood. She couldn't get to Jesus like she wanted to, so she touched the hem. It wasn't a hem, H-E-M. It was him, H-I-M. Y'all missed it. But it was him who had a hem that she touched. And that had enough power in the hem to make her whole. But it wasn't the hem that made her whole. It was him that made her whole. And her faith in him that made her whole. So stop putting faith in hems. Put your faith in him. Missed it. Watch this. So, but then here come the fake ones now, who see the come up. They see church as big business, right? They see church as big business. If you really want to go start your church. Call yourself nonprofit. Get your 501c3 number. Call yourself nonprofit. Call yourself Ham's Holiness Temple of Deliverance. Get your hotspot and the phone. You got yourself a church. Find you two or three more clowns who just believe in you. Don't know about the God in you, but people who just go always say yes to you. Get you two or three, call them deacons and armor bearers. And you can fool enough folks who ain't got no word, and they'll join your online church. Because, see, the good news, the tough stuff about what we're in now, folk ain't really got to go to the house. Ain't no telling what some of us been looking at these last 13 months. I can tell some of us ain't grounded and rooted in the church like you used to be. You looking at other stuff because you got Wi-Fi and time. Now somebody done showed you something, and you got no word. And so here they see big business. And these vagabonds see big business. These exorcists, they're called. So they specialize in bringing devils out. Why are they there? Because it's the devil's territory. You got to remember, Paul, you're not at home. These demons you're working with, they're at home. Paul, you ain't at home. Please don't get too comfortable because God has you on assignment. Don't forget who you're assigned to. So if you're assigned to them, don't get aligned with them. You ain't supposed to be marrying some folks you supposed to just been prayed for and moving on. Oh, boy, why are you going here? Because some folk, y'all, you got them from the devil's territory. God didn't tell you go marry that. God told you pray for that. Give a message, keep on kicking. Just because he looked good, he was still a demon. Let's call us. Just because she's fine, she's still a demon. Don't forget about who raised her. Don't forget about who she really is. Now you done messed out on your message. And then got hooked up with them. Exorcists, they specialize in this here. So what you gonna need, you gonna have to have God to get you with, to help you with, because you dealing with something more powerful than you. In order to know if God gives you power, is if God gives you the ability to overcome stuff you know you couldn't on your own. I wish I was talking to real folk. When you know for a fact if it was on your own, you done been and got defeated, you been in the ditch, but not for the power of God. You know them ungodly co-workers. You know that terrible boss you working for, and God keep paying your bills. God keep taking care of you. It's because God has put power in you no matter what's around you. But don't get it twisted. Don't get too comfortable and act like you don't know where you are. You in the devil's territory. And we're in the world, but we're not of the world. Stop getting too comfortable fooling with people just because they smell good, look good. And now we're misrepresenting a message. We can't say nothing to somebody we're supposed to be ministering to. And now they're taking away our realness. Now folk don't want to hear you because how you going to talk to me and you marry one of us? How you going to talk to us about a God and he couldn't save you from us? Exorcists. They're getting them demons out. They specialize in it. Nobody said they're successful. They just say they are. Because part of business is selling yourself. It ain't got to be real. Y'all missed it. If they can convince you they good at it, you go give them money to them. All they want was the money. They never cared about success. That's right. I preach by myself. That's all right. I preach by myself. But that's okay. Because y'all don't want to talk. Y'all don't want to tell the truth. You don't want to tell the truth. Nobody told you buy that car. His job to tell you how good the car is. And you're supposed to get the money to it. Now, if it's a lemon or not, that ain't his fault. He did his job selling you on it. But you got power to say no. Let me get through. So these vagabond Jews, Bruce, I'm starting to get happy, man. some of these vagabond Jews are seeing what Paul is doing. So when God sends something real, the devil sends something fake. But the devil don't want to hear word, but he want to always be around for the works. Watch how many come to Sunday school and Bible study, and then how many come to church and anniversaries. Watch you come to prayer meeting, then watch you come to business meeting. y'all don't want to talk to him. That's all right. That's all right. That's all right. That's all right. Look here. Now the Bible says that certain priest named Sceva, a Jewish priest. He's not a chief priest as we know in Jesus' time, but he's a big man in the church at Ephesus. He's a chief priest. He does church well, and he got wayward boys. I'll give you time. Because can't nobody cut up like preacher's kids and deacon's kids. Can't nobody cut up like kids who know how to do church and didn't know how to play church. This man Sceva, nowhere does Luke record here that Sceva's a bad man. Just says he's a priest and got sons who've gone astray. Sceva, his sons, and so they were the ones who stood out the most trying to do this one particular instance. But now watch what all these vagabonds did. They would say the right stuff and not have power. They say stuff without power. It's like trying to start a car with no battery. Lord have mercy. You can turn it over, but you can't see nothing. Can't hear nothing. Ain't no power, ain't no fire getting to the engine. Ooh. Oh, Lord have mercy. Help me, Lord. They say, we adjure you. Watch this now. We adjure you by the Jesus Christ that Paul preached. We command you, come out, you evil spirit, in the name of the Jesus that Paul preached about. I'm going to try one more time. These vagabonds go to the demons to try to show how much power they got. They go and they use a name they don't know off a sermon they heard somebody they don't know him. Which means that real power is not just developed by revelation and not replication, but then a second aspect about power is determined by relationship over religion. Yes. Mm-hmm. What am I saying to you? You got to know the Lord to have his power. I ain't got nothing deep to tell y'all. I know I said a lot of big words. I did that just sound academic. But what I'm trying to get you to see is you got to know the Lord if you're going to have his power. And he ain't going to let you have his power and you don't want him. And you can fool folk only for so long. Eventually, people already know you don't know the Lord. And it has nothing to do with what you're doing in the church building. It's about how you can handle the demonic stuff in your life. I'm in the Bible, man. I ain't left the Bible. Look here. We adjure you by Jesus that Paul preached. They've been to church because they heard Paul preach about Jesus. But they never thought about the fact of forming a relationship with the Jesus that Paul preached about. Because they never heard the message, they were focused on the miracle. Joe is saying, same way today. Focus on the miracle and not hearing the message. You get sleepy. You get the hurting. You get thirsty. You get hungry. Children act up. So you can't hear the message. When it's time for the prayer line, there you go. And not hear no word is going to help authenticate what you're in the line for. I'm preaching, I am. Sure will. Preaching. Watch this. We adjure you. Come out of him. They run up on this dude that's demon possessed. not demon oppressed, demon possessed. There's a difference. Christians get demon oppressed daily. But when you don't mess around, the devil get in and take over, that's a whole nother ball of wax. All right, so stop calling some people demons unless they really possessed. Now, most of us are oppressed by the demon, by the devil, but not possessed. This brother here they're dealing with is possessed. And understand, you can call his name all you want, but if you don't really know him, remember now, it's more powerful than the power you have within yourself. You can't be successful unless you got the Lord's power. And sometimes the best teacher for us is failure. It's you realizing what you don't have to realize what you need. It's realizing you ain't as deep as you thought to make you study. Realizing you and God ain't as tight as you thought you were to realize I need to get closer. We adjure you. I done been enough church. I done seen TD do it. I done seen, what's the man's name? Benny Hinn. I done seen them do it. I can do it. I went to the store and bought some olive oil. I can go and anoint myself. I can anoint this situation. I tell you what I can do. I can do it too. I don't need my pastor to cover me. I don't need my elders to cover me. I got enough power in myself. I'm going to do it because I done seen it done. I done YouTube how to get demons out. I YouTubed it. I Googled it. I can do it. Because if I tell them, they're going to be in my business. So let me go and try to do this privately and watch what the devil go bring you out publicly. Because Bible says this happened in a house. You trying to go do this privately because you know you don't know God. But if it don't work, you won't be exposed. Why some of y'all chucking your tail this morning? Because you done tried some stuff and it ain't work. And now I better get on back to the Lord. I tried doing it my way. That don't work. Let me go on back to the Lord. Ooh, Lord. Because I don't have a relationship, I got religion. Somebody tells you pray, and you go by a prayer you heard a deacon say when you was a little boy. Now, Lord, please have mercy, Lord. Look over in the nursing home and look over. Now, you try that prayer, and you sick. You trying prayers you heard because you never prayed for yourself. You preaching sermons you heard and ain't looked and studied the word yourself. And the point is coming where you got to show if you know the Lord for yourself or not. And I can tell by some of our reactions, we really don't know him like we said. But if he put me on blast, y'all might not let me lead no more. They may ask me to resign. If it show I really don't know him, I might not get to be the big dog. Because, see, I've been blasting them by what they don't know about deaconing, and they go tell me what I don't know about doctrine. It's going to be exposed. I really don't know what I know about the Word of God, but I can tell you about bylaws. And now when I'm in trouble, bylaws can't heal me. Bylaws can't deliver me. Bylaws can't bring me out. When I need you to help me, I don't need you to tell me what the bylaws say. I need you to tell me what Hebrews say. What does Luke tell me? What does the psalmist say to me? Mm-hmm. So the problem with most of us, we don't have no word in us, but we're still trying to do these works and bring these wonders out. And you try it at home first before you go public, before you go global. We adjure you by the Jesus that Paul preached. And watch what happened, y'all. The demon talked back to him. Y'all, have I made this up? The demon talked back to him. Oh, you gonna try to get me out? You finna deliver him from me? You is, huh? Because watch this. The Bible proves that the demon's been in more ministry than them. Demons know more Bible than most of us. What happens when that demon talks back to you? I rebuke you. Oh, you do? I ain't making this up. I rebuke you, Satan. Oh, yeah? I don't receive that. Here it is.
Because demons recognize who don't have power. Yeah. Now, here's the shout for me. Y'all ain't gonna shout off this. Here's the shout for me. If demons know you ain't got power, saints do too. But saints just go work with you. Demons go whoop you. I ain't making it up. Saints will work with you and cover you. Keep fooling with demons, they go whoop you. Demons say, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? And look at these fellows' approach now. We adjure you. We command you. They said all the right stuff. We command you. By the Jesus who Paul preaches. If your only knowledge of Jesus is by Paul, you don't have Jesus. You got the right name with a bad theology. You know you're supposed to pray in Jesus' name, but now, do you know him? You know his name, do you know his nature? Lord, have mercy. Watch this. Now, know here is two different meanings for know. Jesus, I know, gnosko. That's the Greek word gnosko. Means I've experienced Jesus. I know I can't do nothing with Jesus. Because I know him. I done been to battle with him. He beats me every time. I've got some experience with Jesus. I sure enough know Jesus. Second, no, I know Paul. That's episteme, meaning I know about Paul. So he's literally saying, I know Jesus. I know about Paul. I don't know nothing. The devil knows who belongs to God because he's tried to take you from God. And at some point in time, you got a stamp on you saying, I belong to God. But if you don't have a stamp, he don't know you.
We hope Pastor Ham's message blessed you. And if you'd like a copy of this CD, please send a donation and a self-addressed envelope to P.O. Box 893, Winfield, Louisiana, 71483. Or join us at our regular services at 405 West Jones Street, Winfield, Louisiana, Sundays 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m. Communion, first Sunday of each month. 6 o'clock midweek service and senior missions and patrons meeting. 6 o'clock Thursday, Sunday school and teachers meeting. God bless you and keep you. May he lift up your countenance and give you peace until we meet again.
Just have faith.